Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. So excited that you will join us today and looking forward to what God has to say for us. First of all, happy Father's Day to all of you fathers out there, both natural and spiritual. Enjoy tomorrow and the blessings of the day so that your children and your spiritual children can benefit from the wisdom that God has placed in you and the fellowship that they have with you, relationship. We're looking forward to a wonderful time this morning. This prophetess Crystal comes to give us our announcements and our prayer. Prophetess,
good morning, everybody, and once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We are excited that you have taken time out of your schedule to join us in sharing the Word of God. In the way of announcements, just want to let you know that every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us right here for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen as he brings a mighty, mighty powerful Word of God. On Thursday nights at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. That's 7 p.m. on Thursday nights. And you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That's ctkr.org. For those of you who are new to this ministry and this broadcast, you will notice that that is our ministry website. We just ask that you would go there. Visit us, get to know more about the ministry, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, as well as the pastors, my husband, Apostle McQueen, and myself. Amen. Also on our website, we do have sons and daughters. We have a strong missions ministry, amen, sons and daughters that are underneath our covering. And there's also a way to get a hold of them. Not only do they need your prayers, but they also need your financial support as well to continue with the work that God has ordained for them to do. And each one of our sons and daughters also have Facebook pages. So you can go visit them on their Facebook page, amen, and get to learn more about them as a ministry, as a culture of people, and even find out about the needs that they have. And as the Lord lays it up on your heart to give, then you know where you would like your financial gift to go. On our website, www.ctkr.org, we do have a donate button. Please click on that donate button. Put your information in there, where you would like your money to go, and we will make sure that it gets right into the proper hands so that their ministries can continue to go forth and do a mighty work for the Lord. Speaking of Facebook pages, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and WOPD have a Facebook page. Go there, like us. Let us know what you're doing. Let us give a shout out to your church. Give a praise report, a prayer request. Amen. whatever it is that you would like us to know. We want to hear from you and what God is doing in your life. Also, if you would like myself or Apostle McQueen to come and minister at any one of your programs or your churches, please, we have a contact page on our main website. Leave your information, leave as much details as you can, a contact number, amen, name, and even an email, and someone will get in touch with you within 12 to 24 hours. Those are the announcements for today. We look forward to hearing from you and seeing you on those occasions. Amen. Come on, let us pray. Father, right now we glorify you, we magnify you, we thank you for all that you've done, for this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing and we are glad in it. God, we thank you for your protection. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, and we definitely thank you for your glory. God, we thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, lives on the inside of each and every one of us, and he rules and reigns, and we thank you so much for that. Even now, Father, as we come in your Son's name, we bow and humble ourselves at your feet this morning. We just bow at your feet so that we may hear your word. We tune our ears attentively, amen, to your voice in the mighty name of Jesus to hear a right now word from heaven. We are looking for instruction. We are looking for words of protection. We are looking for words of deliverance. We are looking for words of encouragement. God, someone tonight, this morning, wherever they may be, in the time zone, God, when someone hears this word, let it bring a breakthrough. Let it be a blessing. Let it bring deliverance. Let it bring comfort. Let it bring healing. Whatever this message that you have given the man of God this morning, let it go forth and do the work that you want it to do in the lives of your people in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, right now we thank you and we glorify you. I'm asking, Father, that you would just open up our hearts to receive. Father, that these seeds that you're getting ready to deposit will go forth in good ground, and that it will bring up a mighty harvest in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Father, even now, those that are called as your prayer warriors, Father, that they would take this word and chew on it in our hearts, God, and that we would begin to pray over it until we see the manifestation and the glory of your presence, the manifestation of your word in the lives of your people, in the earth, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking right now that you would just move by your spirit, move by your presence. Father, we ask that you would just change the lives of your people, even as we go forth on even tomorrow, God. We ask that your glory and your presence will reveal yourself strongly in the houses of worship on tomorrow, Father. Let someone be saved. Let someone be healed, delivered, and set free. We give your name all praise. We give your name all glory. We thank you, God, that we become the lights that are shining out of darkness. We give your name praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And amen. We're so grateful for the prayer, amen, this morning. And what God is saying to the people, just to reinforce the announcement concerning our spiritual sons and daughters overseas, on our Facebook page, on our website, www.ttkr.org, you'll find information concerning Christ the King Redemptive Ministry in worldwide. And we have sons and daughters. Now, all of them are on Facebook, amen, because in some of the areas, they don't have access to constant internet connection. They have to travel over a village or two to get to an internet cafe where they can check in and find out that there's resources that have been sent to their accounts and things like that. So even though they, some of them do not have. And I say that because when we speak about missions, in a lot of people's eyes, there's the image of a child that is looking for a sponsor, and we want to see the sponsor, and those different nonprofit agencies, sometimes the money doesn't really go all the way to that child. As you see the image of little Sally, and Sally needs your help, you send money for Sally, and as it gets into their system, they redirect that funding to where they feel it would be more appropriate. They may send you information about Sally because it keeps you giving, but you're really not funding Sally. Amen. And there's been several approaches and reports that validate what I'm saying now. Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, what we seek to do is we have spiritual sons and daughters who are in the field. Bishop Wandera David, Bishop Joe Shiendo Apamo, Evangelist Isaac Ademiyi, those who are over in Kenya, Uganda, Nigeria, as well as the sons and daughters and ministry connections that are over in Philippines, up in Pakistan and India. They need your prayers. They need your financial support. And we say that because when we come to you with a request, we don't ask you to give to Christ the King, per se. We ask you to help with the missions. Amen. And that's where our focus is. Now, it takes finance to run Christ the King as well. If the Lord lays that on your heart, then, you know, we receive that as well. But when you sow seed, when you give a charitable gift, we want you to tell us where you want that to go so that we can make sure that we focus that money that direction. If you give $10, then we're sending $10, you know, minus whatever transfer costs it will cost. As many of you know, some places you can send overseas and it'll go directly, no charge. And then there's some places where you send and they charge you per unit of money. So minus the amount that it costs to send it, we'll still be sending it. The thing is that whatever is needed, they'll be getting the money so that they can do what needs to be done. I shared a number years ago when we first started these broadcasts that sometimes what they need is milking cows. You know, we have orphanages and schools over there, and they need a cow, a milking cow, or two to help take care of what's going on at those institutions. So you may say, listen, I want to send some money, and you know, when you send the money, we contact the people in the area and we purchase a cow. And you say, well, I was trying to send them this much money. Well, yeah, thank you, but this is what they needed. So when they contact us, sound systems to go out in the different villages, portable generators to run those systems, musical instruments. I remember when I first went to Africa, I took a $700, $800 keyboard with me and gave it to them. And they were looking at it, looking for the drums. The drums that you could hit and it would play. They were looking for the speakers on the keyboard. I took an expensive cord, you know. It didn't have a speakers on it. You know, you have to run it through an amplifier. But that was an eye-opening thing for me, because a lot of times where we would send and we would send something, it would be wonderful. We gave it and it cost this much, but it was not applicable to them. They used it until they couldn't use it anymore. But the keyboard that they really looked for was more of the Casio Yamaha type with the speakers on it, drum machine in it. That's what they were looking for. So as we celebrate Father's Day, my appeal to you is to help our children, our spiritual children, and those that our spiritual sons and daughters help. And I appeal to you to sow generously so that we can help address some of the needs and concerns that they have. Every father who hears a need for the child, you know, wants to respond to that need, and rightfully so. You know, there's needs there, and we want to be able to say that as a good father, we came through for them. Amen. The other thing is on our web, on our Facebook page, please leave us testimonies and things. We look and we see how many have tuned into the broadcast and downloaded it, and wonderful. But we look to hear from you. Let us know what God is doing for you, where this broadcast has been a blessing to you. As I said, we don't petition you for funding or anything for Christ the King, per se, but for the missions that we support and those that we cover. But we like to hear from you to, you know, to gauge where the broadcast is and what God is doing in your lives. I want to read something right quick. Philemon, the 10th verse says, I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that I might be he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. So when you look at this, the apostle begins to plead for his child. And that's what I'm doing as a spiritual father right now, pleading for my children. Amen. And appropriately on Father's Day. Amen. So we pray that during this time while we're here and they're there, that you will receive this request, and that you will respond and allow the Lord to touch your heart and give generously so that we can help meet some of the needs that are present before us over in Africa and other lands. Now, let's get into this word. We've been dealing with 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and our identity and who we are. And I believe that it is very appropriate that we have gotten to these verses here. When we get into 1 Corinthians, we begin to see where we need to be today. Starting at the 14th verse, 1 Corinthians 14. And I wish I had time to really get into this whole chapter, because when we begin to talk about the work of an apostle and the grace that is placed upon us, we have right now foundationally a lot of people who have of apostle but couldn't stand to go through the making of an apostle. The life that God calls us into, the things that we have to deal with and do, are not always comfortable. Amen. Somebody. All other ministerial gifts that I can think of at this time, even though they may face some hardships, they don't go through at the level that apostles go through. if we just look at it. Let's read from the first verse, and I'm going to skip down to where we need to be for today. It says, think of us in this way, as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. Mm-hmm. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before time, before the Lord comes, who will bring light to things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purpose of the heart. Then each one will receive commendation from God. I have applied all this to Apollos and to myself for your benefit, brothers and sisters, so that you may learn through us the meaning of the saying, nothing beyond what is written, so that none of you will be puffed up in favor against one another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as if it were not a gift? Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. Quite apart from you, from us, you have become kings. Indeed, I wish you had become kings so that I might be kings with you. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles. Last of all, though, as though sentenced to death, we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels and to mortals. We are fools for the sake of Christ, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present, we are hungry and thirsty. We are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless, and we grow weary from the work of our own hands. When we revile, we bless. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we kindly. We have become like the rubbish of the world, the dregs of all things to this very day. Now, from the very beginning, reading all the way down, as you begin to look at this, you see that the role of an apostle was not a glorious role. It was one that we promote our children and we train and we teach them and we take the blow. We go through this image that we have now of the apostle who is sitting on this great throne in front of everyone with the big rings and double, triple size chains with crosses that can't fit in the shirt pocket, has to fit in the pants pocket. So the chain has to be so long that it's long enough to fit all the way down, and all the other stuff. Listen, the collar that we wear in our clerical garb has a thick band around it at the top to make sure that those who would take our lives, the ones who were taking the heads of those who proclaimed Christ on a chopping block, that they had a good place to aim. Amen. And while we were led to slaughter, and now it has become something that is a crown and everything else. Listen, your crown comes afterwards. Amen. Right now, if someone asks you to go minister the gospel to people who could not afford your saying, you would pass them as if to say they aren't respecting the authority or they're not respecting the anointing on my life. Listen, Jesus went into the temple and dealt with them, with those religious people, and then he went out amongst the people, allowed them to handle him. He walked with them, sat down to eat with them. He took time with them. When they came to him after hours and in the dark, he still spoke to them. He still gave them wisdom. I don't see where he was looking for them to give him an honorary offering. in order to get a word or to get anything else. We have to get past all of this modern stuff that we put in. This is people trying to make sure that they aren't taken advantage of and the rest. But listen, when you become a child of God, and especially as I'm talking about the apostleship, when you begin to deal with the apostleship, it's not a glorious thing. This is a working position. Amen. And when you deal with a working position, then that means that you're going to go through some things and you have to continue forward. Instead of looking at it as a glorified position, understand what it really says. When in the 8th verse here, 1 Corinthians 4:8, when he says, already you have all you want, already you have become rich, quite apart from us, you have become kings. In other words, you have received from us and now you have all you want. You have received from us and now you are rich. Quite apart from us, we're still nothing, but yet you have become kings. In other words, we do the work to get you where you need to go, even though you don't perceive that we have even arrived there. Hello, somebody. That's what it says here. It's very clear. Amen. Look what it says when he goes on the 9th verse. It says, for I think that God has exhibited us apostles last of all. That means that even though we have a primary position and place in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, God has not placed us in a position where we need to be the focal point so that everyone is looking at us. We're here for work and for a job. Amen. And isn't it interesting that the child should outshine the parent? Well, every proud parent looks to see that child is doing better than they ever did.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. There should be succession within what you're doing. If I'm living a life and I don't set a good foundation for my son and my daughters to grow from there and to have a greater launching point than I did to get where I am, then I have failed. That means that I can't be in competition with my spiritual children when I expect them to supersede me. Hello, somebody. That's the whole point, is that instead of allowing your spiritual children to grow, you try to keep them sub to you so that they can't grow. You stifle them. You keep them from growing in order to say, well, you know, they think they're getting too big. Well, listen, if you're doing an effective job, efficient job, they should get bigger than you. You should be able to see the fruits of your labor in your children. Amen? I want my children to have greater churches than I have. I want them to have greater ministry and greater influences than I had. I'm the launching point for them, but they should grow from me, not just to me.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So here, when he says, I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, as though sentenced to death, we have become the spectacle of the world. And why do I say spectacle of the world? Because when people look and you run into a real apostle, you'll find out that this is a person who is not trying to push themselves, but trying to push the kingdom of God and God's agenda in the earth. Because my job is to do the work of him who sent me and to finish the work. Amen. And if I'm doing that, then that means that even though people want to put my name on it, I'm not looking for my name. I'm looking for the work to be completed. Hello? And if there's something that comes from it, God allowed it. I didn't go into it saying, listen, I'm going to do this work, and that's going to build up this, and that's going to bring me in this much money, and that's going to help me to do this because, you know, I got to build my legacy. Listen, if you're in ministry to build your legacy, get out of ministry because you're focusing on building you up and elasting you when you should be torn down because the flesh has to come down so that the glory of God might come through you and be revealed through you. Amen? See, when we are out here and we're trying to build ourselves and look wonderful, then we lose focus sometimes. That's why you can be driving a Cadillac, but you think you need to drive a Bentley. You show up in a Bentley, but you pull up to a church that you know, your car could have paid for two times over. Hello? Yes. Amen, somebody. See, we aren't satisfied. Whenever we get something, we got to push past that and try to get greater, because it's more about who we want people to see us as. And that's not really important as who God sees us as. Amen? So here, when he says that we have become the spectacle of the world to angels and to mortals. Mortals said, if it was me, I would have did this. Well, you don't have the grace and the gifting. You have not been called to the office of apostle. You don't have apostleship. Then that means that, you know, what you see and what I see is two different things. I can see a torn down, broken building and look at how to build it up into a place of worship and a place where God's people can come and where we can serve better. Amen. And what you see is that's just torn down. That's why you don't have the vision that I have. Amen. You need to be able to see what I see. And as you are trained and groomed, then you begin to see the same thing. And it's interesting, and I say this all the time, that Jesus went amongst the people, knew everything about them because he was God. So he was looking at them, seeing who they were, knew their sins, knew the source of their discontentment in life, and yet and still he didn't charge any of that to them. The Bible said he had compassion on them and he healed them all. In other words, he had the ability to see them in a broken state and yet minister to them till they became whole. Wow. So what am I saying? I'm saying our job is not to see you perfect, but to move you to perfection. Amen? So while we're dealing with you, people say, I wouldn't even fool with that. That's because you don't have the assignment I have. Amen? You don't have the assignment. It takes something special for spiritual fathers to deal with spiritual children, especially when they're being hard-headed. Amen? Because you have to be able to stand there and love the child, knowing the assignment. Mm-hmm. I was sharing with Prophetess yesterday, day before, I think it was yesterday, well, where there's different spiritual children that we've had over the years come through our ministry. Some of them have come through and been a blessing, and we celebrate the fact that they have been. And then there's others who came through, received, was just hard-headed, went on, did whatever. Later on down the road, we get communication from them. We thank God for you all staying where you were and doing what you did, because we are the beneficiaries of it now. And we just want to let you know that God is doing this, and I have answered the call, and I'm doing this. And I go back to those days, those shut-ins. We go back to the prayer. We go back to the instructions and the things that we saw in you. It is that example that you lived before us that we use as a guide. So even though I know I was terrible, we're doing what God said do, and we just want you to know. Do you know that those are the testimonies that we look forward to hearing? Not so much that you were the hard one, but that the word got on the inside of you and is now working through you. Amen? And some people would have thrown you out, got rid of you. Amen? But when you are dealing with a grace upon your life to deal with the hardships of life, then God gives you the hard people sometimes, amen? And your job is not to look at them as if they should have already come along, but to keep watering, amen? The Bible's clear where it says that one sows and another many water, but God gives the increase. It's not up to you when the increase comes. Yes, we would love to see it within the time of our ministry, but our prayer is that eventually, at the fullness of time, increase comes. Amen. Now, we may be here in Florida like we are, and you may be in Washington State, but if we hear that you're doing what God called you to do, and you're doing it according to his precepts and his commands for your life, his order, his plan, his will, then we're satisfied with that. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for whatever part we had in bringing you to the full understanding of who Christ is. Amen. So, if I'm going to be a spectacle, let me be a spectacle because I'm in the will of God, not because I'm an anomaly to the will of God. See, a lot of stuff we put his name on is not him at all. Amen? So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on that has Christ attached to it that's not him.
Amen. Just like this, a lot of stuff we blame it on the devil when it's simply your flesh on parade. Talking about what the devil did. No, that's just you. Amen. That's just a lot of flesh. That had nothing to do with him. Amen. And we have to be able to discern between those two. We talk about spiritual discernment as it relates to Satan and what demonic activity is. But we need to have that same discernment when we begin to deal with spiritual brothers and sisters to understand when it's their flesh and when it's the will of God being propagated throughout the earth, the word of God. Amen. We have to understand that. Let's keep reading here. It says, we are fools for the sake of Christ, but you are wise in Christ. In other words, you know more than me about him. Amen. But you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You know, if it's me, I wish they would come over here. That would fly over here. Well, guess what? Keep living. Amen. I wouldn't have went through that. That's okay. That was you. But guess what? After all is said and done, did God get the glory? And can God get the glory out of your life? Have you allowed yourself to go through the process? And a lot of you, the problem with you is, not being able to go through the process is the reason why you can't answer any of this stuff here. Amen? I know that's hard. It's real hard. Huh? We are fools for the sake of Christ, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. You know, in this present hour, we are home. And thirsty, we are poorly clothed, beaten, and homeless. Amen. You see this? And we grow weary from the work of our own hands. In other words, you look good, but we look bad. Huh? You're doing so well, but we're not doing so good ourselves. Okay, well, it's interesting here that this is not the image of apostles today. Not so much that we have to broken and take vows of poverty, but when your image is greater than your call and your assignment, we have a problem. Amen? Amen. So when we when reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we speak kindly. I wish they would lie on me. I'll put them in the place. Listen, they lied on Jesus. They spit in his face. Covered his eyes and smote him, and then said, prophesy to us, prophet, tell us which one of us smote you. See, you have to understand that all of those things that they did to Jesus, they're going to do to you. Amen? And physically, you're looking for, but sometimes it's mentally. Sometimes it's in positioning. Amen? It's interesting that a man or woman of God can come to town and instead of going over to endorse the kingdom of God and to help push the agenda, we send out spies to try to find out what they're doing and then don't come and support. But in 2-3 weeks from there, try to do the same program that we just had to stand for. That is just foolishness. No wonder the world is confused about us Christians, because there's no continuity with us. Amen. Mm-hmm. Every time you look, it looks like it should be right, but then it turns around and be wrong. And we don't even understand that. Amen. Mm-hmm. We're so busy trying to get people to see us in the super us. Amen. See, this isn't what the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God is about promoting his agenda. Amen. Mm-hmm. And his agenda is not your business plan. Hello? We got to get it together. We have become like the rubbish of the world, the dregs of all things to this day. And then we get into the 14th verse where it simply says this, I'm not writing this to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. In other words, I'm saying all this not because I'm trying to bring you into a guilt, not because I'm trying to bring you down, not because I'm trying to talk down to you and destroy you and your self-esteem and where you feel that God has brought you from, but I'm doing this to admonish you as their children, amen, as my beloved children. Though you might have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. In other words, the assignment that God gave me for you, my going through, my ministering to you in your ups, your downs, your ins, your outs, when you look good and I look bad, when I look good and you didn't look so good and I came down to help you to look better, you understand? I'm still doing this because of the assignment that I have. Amen? And you have to understand, a spiritual father is not somebody who you just go out and choose to have all the time. Amen? Because a spiritual father is someone that is assigned to you by God. Hello, somebody. Because there's people that we would have chosen as spiritual parents that God said, no, that's not the direction I'm taking you. That's not what I'm trying to do for you. That's not what I'm saying. Prophetess and I will say this, we are not perfect, amen? But within our assignment, we are well-suited to do what God called us to do, amen? We have ran into spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers, amen? I remember coming up, and I celebrate one a lot, and it's Bishop Arville Garrett, because Bishop Garrett took time when I was coming up as a young man, a young musician, and he poured into me what it meant to actually go through and pastor and to love the sheep. My wife would tell you that we've seen many things, amen, that happen, and if we have been to the first part where it says, when reviled, we bless. We've seen him do that.
Mm-hmm.
When persecuted, we endure. We've seen him go through and endure. When slandered, we speak kindly. We saw him lied on and other things. And he was just, you know, that's, well, you know, that was it. That was it. So when he would say things, you know, it wasn't that when people said stuff, he would jump up and throw down the gauntlet. I'm Bishop R.L. Garrett. You're going to listen to me because God called me. He would just sit back and say, okay, well, listen, let's agree to disagree, but keep on going, and we pray that God will bring enlightenment in this area. And regardless of what the outcome is, we saw him and we know him to be a true man of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? That's why he's a spiritual father to us. Amen? Mm-hmm. So we watch Mother Estella Boyd,
mm-hmm.
Who took time with us and poured into us. And I remember the last time we saw her, she said us, or the last time before she released us into ministry, we sat there and everyone else went through the hoopla of it. Amen. But we were sitting after a high service and she called. I'll always come down and sit next to her, and Prophetess would always come over and we would sit next to her, and she began to talk to us and said, the Lord told me that this is y'all's time, and released us. She said, this is, y'all need to move on. God told me that it's time for y'all to go ahead and launch out and do what he told you to do. Remember, you always my son and you're always my daughter. And she got the towels and the hanky and tied them around our neck and then put them on us and laid us out on the floor. And we moved on from there into doing what we need to do. There are many who stayed there, amen, trying to jockey for position. But we continue to go on, understanding that a mother and a father knows when it's time for you to leave the house. Hello, somebody. So that you can do the greater work that you've been called to do. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Bishop Iona Locke.
Yes.
I mean, just the excellence in ministry. You know, there are things that we have learned through the years dealing with spiritual mothers and fathers, those who are true spiritual mothers and fathers. And even today, if I call and talk to any one of them, they entreat me and deal with me as a spiritual child. And you know what? They even take the spiritual off of it and just treat me as one of their sons. Now, obviously, for a mother boy who's going on to be with the Lord, she can't do it now. But the spirit is still there. Mm-hmm. And we still go through and we know how to respond based on what was trained and given to us. Amen? So all of this stuff here that I'm talking about and I'm speaking about is dealing with really spiritual parenting. We focus in because of the day, Father's Day, on spiritual fathers. Amen? But when you have spiritual leadership that takes time and goes in and makes sure that you are equipped and well-equipped for the work that God has called you to do, you can rest assured that they've taken and they're taking some blows for you. See, a lot of things that we as spiritual parents go through, we go through because those who we are covering, those who we're dealing with have not matured spiritually to a certain level. So in their immature acts, in their brashness, in some of the things that they do, we have to go in and take the blow. And it's, as I said before, in Philemon 1 and 10, when he begins to entreat on behalf of his son, it's because before he got there, his son got there, his son really has showed out, really had done some things. But now he has matured. Now he has been converted. Now he has gotten to the place where he understands his place and his job and who he is. And now he needs somebody to stand and advocate for him. And that's what the parent does. Amen? If you want to know what the spiritual parent's supposed to do, they're supposed to chastise you. They're supposed to put bring you into alignment. They're supposed to take time and make sure that you go through, but you go through properly. Amen? You learn the lesson that you don't jump out before time because they already know what you're going to face when you get to the other side. How do they know? They've already gone through it because they have matured to that level and they went through it. Amen? So, well, that was you. That was what you had to go through. I don't have to go through. Yes, yes. There's nothing new, Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. Amen? And what I have to go through in order to live this Christian life, you're going to have to go through. Amen? Even though the application may be different, you still have to go through. What do you mean, I still have to go through? When you look at the fact that as a child of God, the enemy is coming at you and he's testing and he's trying you, the temptation you still have to go through. The test you still have to go through. The trial you still have to go through. And you must still endure. Now, that test, that temptation, those trials, all those things, the elements could change, but the principle stays the same. Amen? Mm-hmm. And that is, if he endured, we must endure. If he succeeded, we must succeed. Amen? So as we look at this, as we begin to deal with it, and we see it for what it is, then we look to have spiritual children who we can advocate for, we can talk to, we can deal with, we can know that they're going to the next level, that they're going to make it. Amen? No one wants to be put out before time, no one's going to put you out before time, but by the same token, we can't sit back and refuse to mature because we want somebody else to do it for us. We got to grow up. Amen? Look what it says here Hebrews 12:9. Well, let's go up some. Starting at the third verse, it says, consider him who endured such hostilities against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. in your struggles against sins, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as children. My children, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines those whom he loves and chastises every child whom he accepts. I'm coming over here because I want you to be my spiritual father. And okay, listen, I remember we had a young lady who came and she said, the Lord told me to come over here and submit to this ministry, and you are my spiritual father, and you're my spiritual mother. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. And the Lord said to us, tell her to leave such and such alone. We said, okay, well, your father and your mother. The Lord told me to tell you to leave such and such alone. It was the next Sunday that she was at another church saying, oh, the Lord told me to come over here. You're my spiritual mom. You're my spiritual dad. See, it's that type of foolishness. When you are really a spiritual children, sometimes you're going to hear what you didn't want to hear. Hello? Sometimes you're going to have to go through some things that you didn't want to even address. I don't feel like addressing that. I don't want to. I'm shutting it down. I'm grown. I don't have to listen. Listen, this is not a grown type thing. This is a spiritual parent, spiritual child situation. And the issue that you're dealing with, you are focused in on the incident. And we're looking at the principle behind it, because this principle applied to another situation will have the same negative outcome. So we have to correct what's wrong here. That means that in the situation, if you were wrong, you were wrong. Amen. I don't feel I should have had to go through that. That person, they should have backed me up. No. We don't make excuses for bad behavior. Amen. You gotta learn how to do better. Amen. You represent Christ in the earth. And if you represent Christ in the earth and I let mess and foolishness go on, how am I supposed to be a true man of God? False prophet is supposed to be a true woman of God when we know that you're messing up and your flesh is on parade and we don't deal with you with correction to bring and corral in your flesh. Hello, somebody. Mm-hmm. So God deals with us like that. Amen. It says, my child, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when you are punished by him, for the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. Mm-hmm. And chastises every child whom he accepts. Look what it says, 7 verse. It says, endure trials for the sake of discipline. God is treating you as children. For what child is there whom the parent does not discipline? We're talking about Father's Day here, amen? And sometimes the role of the father, more than the mother, is the disciplinarian. Oh, listen, you've been looking for not a spiritual father. You've been looking for someone who's going to validate your mess and think it's cute but allow you to keep on doing the mess. And if you run into a real spiritual father, as soon as mess come up, they're coming out with something that's going to clean up the mess. Amen, somebody. Huh? What child is there whom a parent does not discipline? If you run into that child, you run into the worst child in the world, because there's no perimeters. There's no discipline there. There's no respect for authority. There's these children that you see that terrorize society, as it were, are children who have parents who don't discipline them. So no one else can. Because the primary source of discipline in their life is absent. Hello? Huh? Look what it says in the 8th verse. If you do not have that discipline in which all children share, then you are illegitimate and not his children. He's talking about God. But more so than that, the same with us as spiritual parents. When we have spiritual children who will not be disciplined, huh? Then they're illegitimate. Amen. And I've been praying and talking to God concerning the spiritual children who call us dad, who do not endure, who do not follow after, who have not taken time to really adhere to the training and the teaching or anything else. Amen. And we trim off, amen, because the resources that you have been taking need to go to those who are receiving resources and doing something with it, amen. Hear the voice of the Lord, amen. So this is something that we have to do, amen. If we have illegitimate children and not old children, then our focus needs to be on our legitimate children, amen. Huh? Moreover, we had human parents who disciplined us and we respected them. Should we not even more willingly or willing, should we not be even more willing to be subject to this, to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good in order that we may share his holiness. Why are we going through this? Why are we dealing with this? It's to make you holy. It's so that you can share in this holiness. Amen. Now, discipline always seems painful rather than pleasant at the time, but later it yields its peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift up your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may be put out of joint, what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with everyone and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. See, we have to understand that this is the purpose in what we're going through. Spiritual father, spiritual mother, spiritual parenting is something that we have to take not lightly, but really grab hold of and see it for what it is. God is calling us as spiritual parents into a higher level of parenting. But for you who are spiritual children, he's calling you to a higher level of honor concerning your spiritual parents. This is something that you need in order to go through and be processed. How does God process you? He puts guardians. He puts coverings over you who help bring you into compliance and into confirmation with his image. Amen. That's why I'm not looking for people who look like me. I'm looking for people who want to look like him. And when God brings you into our sphere of influence, then you'll begin to follow after us, follow us as we follow Christ and be conformed to his image. Amen. Thank God for our spiritual children. Thank God for other spiritual parents. As this Father Day is tomorrow, we pray that you will hear this word and really take to heart what it means to be a spiritual father and a spiritual mother, but also what it means to be spiritual children. We are responsible to God for our actions, and we're asking you to come up to the level where you need to be so that we don't embarrass him and misrepresent him, but that we represent him properly in the earth. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, for those who have tuned in. We thank you, Lord, for those who will hear this in the archive. Lord, let them hear it with the proper spirit and understand what is really being said here. This is not a rant or a rave, but it is the word of God to bring us into order and into compliance with the will of God. We got so many people out trying to prove who they are that we've lost focus and sight of the assignment that you called us to. Help us to get back online in the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are not saved, Lord, that they will simply pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you would lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, that they may be matured and developed and go on to do the work that you called them to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. As I stated before at the beginning of the broadcast, there are many needs that we have across overseas, and they're asking for your support, your financial support, and your prayers. Amen. So we pray that you would hear and that you would respond so that we can do what God is calling us to do and help out those who are doing what God called them to do. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophet McQueen.
Of Christ the King, Redemptive Ministries, and we're reminding you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Come on, let's give God a praise.
Hallelujah.